This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 24, 2019. The Chair of St. Peter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Today, liturgically, it is different here than in other places. The Ordinariate, the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter is transferred to this day because it is the solemnity of title for the Ordinariate. It's interesting, when this was all going on, they established the one in England, Our Lady of Walsingham. The one in Australia is dedicated to Our Lady of the Southern Cross. I wonder what title of Our Lady we're going to get. The Ordinary of the Chair of St. Peter. What? Wanted to be something about Our Lady. But actually, after thinking about it for a while, it was actually a very cool thing that the Ordinariate in North America was called the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, because it, by its very title, showed what had been endeavored toward for so long, and that was communion with the See of Peter. Not communion with any individual pope, because they have changed, but the See of Peter. This is the solemnity on which we celebrate today. It is not Pope Day for whoever is Pope at the given time. It is the Chair of St. Peter. The Chair of St. Peter is what our Lord Jesus Christ established on the back of Peter, but it is the chair. It is the authority that Jesus Christ gives through that see, the universal jurisdiction over every believer on the face of this planet. This is what we celebrate today. My emphasis today, and I want to focus on the metaphor that our Lord uses when he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Because that metaphor speaks to the necessity of our praying for the Pope. No matter who it is, no matter what you think, you need to pray for the Pope. Because the responsibility that the man who sits in the chair of Peter bears is inconceivable to us. It is inconceivable, the responsibility that the one who sits in the chair of St. Peter is going to be judged. And he is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have a cop-out. The Lord looks at me and says, you did this, I can say, my bishop said. And my bishop can say, the Pope said. The Pope has no recourse. The Pope is answerable to no one on the face of this planet. No one for anything. He cannot be judged by men or any institution of man. I want that job. No, you don't want that job. Because you are just answerable for yourself. You're answerable to no one else but God. You got no cop-outs. Popes are not God. Everything that they say is not from on high. Although, it's unfortunate that the vast majority of Catholics look at it this day in that way. That's called ultramontanism, this exaggerated view of papal authority. It is exaggerated in a lot of people's minds. The man is a human being. He might be the Pope, but he's working through this stuff, just like each and every one of us do. He is just held to much more account than we are. His responsibilities, we cannot conceive of them. He needs our prayers because he's a human being. It's good to have this idea of how important the chair of St. Peter is for the church. Absoluteness, it's an absolute necessity. Jesus Christ knows it's that he's God and he established it. But he also has to deal with human beings who sit in the chair. Let's look at the case of St. Peter just briefly. St. Peter, well, he's the first pope. He must have been the more perfect of any pope that's ever lived. Verse 19 of Matthew 16. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. That could puff you up. Four verses later, this same Jesus Christ, the same Son of God, four verses later, verse 23 of Matthew 16, looking at that same man, Peter, go behind me, Satan, thou art a scandal unto me. Your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men. What is it, Jesus? You are Peter and on this rock I'll build my church. You're a scandal to me. What's the answer to that question? Yes. You are Peter and on this rock I will build my church. You are a scandal to me because of what you just said. You'd think after being verbally spanked by our Lord like that, you would probably learn your lesson. Obviously not the case with St. Peter. Because in Galatians, chapter Paul writes, and he's talking about his missionary journeys, what I've done here and what I've done there. And he says, yeah, and when I got here, I went to Peter and, I quote, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Some of the older English versions say, I condemned him to his face. St. Paul, another apostle, but not the apostle upon whom Jesus built the church, not the pope, looked at the pope and said, I condemn you to your face. And why was he condemning him? Because he would do it the same thing that Jesus condemned him for. You know, I'm a Jew. When I'm around Gentiles, I'll sit around and eat with them, but there are other Jews present. That makes me look bad in front of them because they're Jews, and it makes it look bad. We're not supposed to do that, so I won't eat in front of them. He was trying to be a man pleaser. And St. Paul condemned him to his face. The Pope has responsibilities to righteousness and to God. And he's a human being, and he may on occasion fall short, but he's still the Pope, and he's going to be answerable to God. The St. Peter himself writes in that second reading from today, from 1 Peter chapter 5, St. Peter is admonishing priests and bishops as how they should guide their flocks, what they should do, their responsibilities. And it was a verse that's a couple later from where our reading ended. But Peter sums it all up and says, be you humble under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. God is going to visit you, priests and bishops. How much more is he going to visit the Pope? This is why we need his prayers. It's a matter of responsibility. This is where that metaphor of the keys of the kingdom comes in so handy. Generally, when our Lord uses some metaphors, generally you got to explain it up here because it has to do with agrarian lifestyles or sheep, of which most of us know nothing except what we hear here and here. It doesn't apply to our lives. In this metaphor, the keys of the kingdom, this is very interesting because, I mean, it's something civil, this metaphor. You know, if somebody's really important or somebody, you know, does something really great, what they do? They give them the keys of the city. Right? You always see it, you know, everybody's seen the pictures, the ceremony, this big key they give them. If you've ever been to the institution of a pastor at a church, it's actually a ritual. And part of the ritual is the bishop hands some keys to the newly installed pastor. And those keys are like, you know, they're like yay big. Hello, they don't fit one door at the church. They're symbolic. They show his authority. They show the responsibility that is necessary of their office. Here, I'm giving you these keys because you know whose church this is? This church is Bishop Lope's church. I just stand here for him at his whim. It's his church. And when I symbolically receive the keys of the church that don't open one door here, okay, then what does that symbolize? That I'm answerable to him. I'm giving you these keys. This is where the metaphor applies, because most of us get this, whether it was us on the teenage side or us on the parent side and or both. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Who's the king of heaven? Who's the king of kings and Lord of lords? Jesus Christ. He's giving Peter the keys. He's giving authority over that. This is where it applies. Again, for most of us individually, and if you're a parent with a teenager, you get this one. Parent hands the keys to the car for the first time to the teenager who's just got their license. Is that parent saying, here's the keys, do whatever you want? Absolutely not. It's just like the opposite. I remember the first time, can I have the keys, can I have the keys? Yeah, go to the store. It was an excruciating experience. I was infuriating people driving 20 miles an hour in the 50 mile an hour zone because I didn't want anything to happen. Why? Because I was responsible for the car. And I had heard for months, you ain't driving, you're not driving, you're not ready. I got my license, I passed my test. I don't care. And I finally got the keys. We have responsibilities when it comes to getting the keys handed over to us. This applies metaphorically to the Pope, because all these things that I talk about, the individual responsibility of the teenager, apply to him. Whose car is it? It's Dad's car. I hand you the key. Yes, my car. No, it's just the opposite. It's mine. You better take care of it. You have a responsibility to your father because of the father. It's the father's stuff. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ's. He hands the keys to Peter. Basically, they're the keys to the satellite office down here, which we refer to as the church. You have responsibility for this. Here's the keys. You're responsible to me. Peter should much more be on eggshells than any teenager who gets the keys to the car. What teenager parks the car in the driveway after the night out? Dad comes in. The whole front of the car's bashed in. It's a wreck. You gave me the keys. See how far that works for you. Ain't happening. You're responsible to your father when you receive the keys. You're not only responsible to your father, you're responsible to obey the rules of the road. There are rules that have been established for driving. And when your father gives you the keys, he expects you to follow the rules that have been established. The same thing applies to Peter. We have the deposit of the faith. We have the teachings of Scripture. We have the teachings of tradition, capital T. And we have the teachings of the magisterium perennially throughout the church. The one who received the keys are bound to follow those rules. Just because you receive the keys doesn't mean you change the rules. You got to adhere to them. Give your teenager the keys of the car. Awesome. Dad gave me the car. I-4, 110 miles an hour. So those blue lights come on behind you. To use bad grammar, he ain't going to listen to, Dad gave me the keys of the car. You are responsible to obey the rules. And then you're going to be answerable to the Father for the consequences of not obeying the rules. And then there's a responsibility to the passengers in your car. You are responsible for their safety. It doesn't matter how they act, what they've done, what they say, all their suggestions. Go faster. Go over here. No, Dad said not to drive over in that area. I'll go over there. It's fun. You don't listen to your passengers, no matter how attractive their suggestions might be, no matter how fun they may be, because you are responsible for their safety. St. Peter received the kingdom of heaven. He has the boat, the bark of Peter, the Catholic Church. He is responsible to the passengers of that church. He is responsible for their safety. And he is responsible, should be responsible, not to listen to their suggestions. Because he is the one who is ultimately the one who is going to be answerable. Because when Dad gives you the keys to the car, you are not going to look at him and say, well, you gave me the keys and I listened to so-and-so and he told me to do this and this happened. Guess who's going to get in trouble? Not whoever said do this or do that. You. Because you're responsible. This. That's why I need to pray for the Pope. If you got issues, that actually should be, you should pray harder for the Pope. Because if you have issues, then there's a question as to the responsibility. Pray harder for him. Make no mistake, the Pope is held to an inconceivably high standard by Almighty God. Like I said, you imagine getting before the judgment seat of Christ and him looking at you and go, you were answerable to no one down there. Not one person. We see it. We saw it this past week. Praise God that it happened when the demonic McCarrick was defrocked. McCarrick cannot now go, I'm going to the Supreme Court about this. I don't agree with this. Society says this is okay. No, when the Pope said, yep, defrocked, guess what? End of story. No recourse, no appeal, nothing. You're done. He's got that much responsibility, and he is going to be answerable for it because he is not God. He is not Jesus Christ. He is the vicar of Christ. He stands in Christ's stead. We see that in governmental affairs, ambassadors. When an ambassador in another country does business in that country, he is the president of the United States. What he says is the United States speaking. He best do what the United States says and wants and not his own personal whims and wills because he represents the president. He is not the president. He does not arbitrarily make decisions. Canon law even says that about the Pope. Canon 333. There's a lot of them. 333 is like the culmination. You just get page after page of how awesome it would be to be the Pope. You're in charge of this. You're in charge of that. Nobody can ever complain about you. You know, it just goes on and on, all the cool things that the Pope gets and can do. But then in the comments under Canon 333 says, and I quote, preeminence of the pontiff does not mean that he may act arbitrarily within the area prescribed. Arbitrarily, he can't do his own whim and will. He's Christ's vicar. And he has to present truth like that. The Pope can't say, you know what, I'm Pope now, and I'm kind of a micromanager. I don't want bishops anymore. They could just be priests. They can fill in a parish. And, you know, I will just tell them from Rome what to preach, what to do. Pope can't do that. Why? Because the papacy is a divine institution, but so is the College of Bishops. The scriptures tell us, go appoint bishops in different places, overseers for the church. They have the keys of the kingdom too. And in each one of their dioceses, they have the same authority that the Pope has. This is a tremendous amount of responsibility. Because guess what? When they die, those keys are taken from them. And we don't want the Lord's reaction to be like it was in the first reading today. Now, the first reading, it's kind of interesting. We hear it because the prophet uses the same words that St. Peter uses almost exactly about binding and loosing and this keys thing. But the real context of what he's talking about is he's yanking the keys from somebody else. This guy's named Shebna. You had the keys to the palace and you started doing things for your own aggrandizement. You wanted personal benefit out of these keys to the kingdom. I'm going to rip those keys from you and I'm going to give them to somebody else. If you read all the verses, it's really kind of, God just hammers this guy, Shebna. Yeah, it's one part of it. I will kick you. I am going to kick you like a ball into exile. Yeah, God does things like that, contrary to what you hear nowadays. He's not all warm and fuzzy. All right? I'm going to kick you like a ball into exile. You're going to suffer there horribly because you took it upon yourself to use the keys for your own benefit and not be responsible. Every pope that dies is going to be after the keys have been taken from him. Could be a great scenario. It could be a horrible scenario. Because he's only answerable to God. This is why we need to pray for the Pope. This is the reality of the thing. He is responsible. He is responsible to the Father. He is responsible to the rules of the deposit of the faith. He is responsible to the passengers of the bark of Peter. Pray for the Pope, Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.